112, okay? For God so loved the world, and we'll sing it. It's short, but we're already starting late. Let's go ahead, Valerie.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful is love to me.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for gathering us together. You have done so in amazing ways, leading in each of our lives in different ways, so that we get to be here and enjoy being a church family together this morning. And Lord, thank you that central is our Savior Jesus Christ, as revealed in your word. And Father God, I thank you for the Bible, that we can have it in our homes, in our hands, in our hearts and minds. And Lord God, I ask you that as we study the subject of the Holy Spirit from your word today, that you would teach us and grow us, that we would become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the Holy Spirit's work in us and even through us. And Father God, we also thank you that you providentially spared President Trump's life yesterday. And we know that others were killed and injured. And Father God, we ask that you would be especially gracious for those and their families. And Father God, we ask you that you would put down and suppress evil. And Lord, that out of this, somehow, people would be pointed to your grace and your way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Father God, I also ask you that as we gather around your word in Sunday school, that you would teach us. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we take prayer requests, I'll just read a couple of things. A wise man once said, nothing. That's right. Respect your elders. They graduated from school without internet. Let's stop sending money to other countries and let them hate us for free. You know, the reason we laugh is because it's too true. The countries we send money to hate us the more, it seems. If guns kill people, then pencils misspell words. Cars make people drive drunk. And spoons make people fat. Well, that is absurd. The person that so evil and immorally did what he did yesterday is responsible, not the gun. And several who have spoken to this recognize that in our day and age, there's more sophisticated weaponry than guns that are even more dangerous. And so national security is trying to explore all the electronic options that they can. It isn't the guns that are the problem, of course. We know that. So anyway, camping. This is a definition for camping by some people, where you spend a small fortune to live like a homeless person. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Okay, having said that, just a few minutes ago, the verse that I was referring to is in Romans 8. Romans 8, everybody. Verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do you find that true in your life? I do. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I am glad that our indwelling Holy Spirit, that is God himself, does intercede for us on our behalf, and we pray anyway, even if we don't know how. And it's fine before the throne of grace. Okay, on your handouts, everyone, let's start at the top and go real quickly through the review from last week. The Holy Spirit is not a mode or an energy from God, for he is referred to throughout the Bible with masculine pronouns. He can be lied to, obeyed, and grieved. He is associated with God the Father and Jesus the Son as an equal. Number two, his past ministries. The Spirit shared in the creation of the universe. Letter B, the Spirit has and does adorn nature. I am so glad we see the beauty that the Holy Spirit brings upon. Okay, Kasanka Peak as the sun sets. Isn't that beautiful? Letter C, the Spirit is the author of the Word of God. Letter D, the Spirit is the agent of inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and as we studied last week, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we would find that also in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to jot that down, verses 20 and 21. Letter E, the Spirit restrains sin or evil. If the Holy Spirit wasn't doing that right now, we would probably have all been all consumed each other long ago. Let's just leave it at that. Letter F, number one, in relation to the Old Testament saints. He was in certain ones. Two, he was upon some. Three, he filled some for service. I'll add this, but it was not necessarily permanent, or it was temporary, whereas in relation to the present ministries, we will see he indwells us permanently forever. Okay, we'll see that in just a little bit. Letter G, under number two, his past ministries. In relation to Jesus, the Holy Spirit was involved in a very personal way in the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the Spirit at his baptism was present, and he appeared as a dove, didn't he? Of course, that lighted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the testimony of his baptism. Number three, the Spirit anointed Jesus, giving him power for certain acts. And we realize that Jesus himself is all powerful, and yet in those miracles, if you will, and other acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was part of that. Number four, the Spirit's leading, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Number five, the Spirit and Christ's atonement. He was involved while Jesus was on the cross. Number six, the Spirit at the resurrection. And we have those other passages there that you can look at and see the Holy Spirit was involved in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we realize Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to raise it again. And the Father, of course, was involved. He rose because of an act of the Father, but also the Holy Spirit. I wanted to get to number three as soon as possible. His present ministries. If you're in Romans chapter 8, I'd like to have you go back a few verses to verse 16, okay? And this is a freebie. It's not on our list, okay? So you could just, however you want to add it to our list, A through I, add one more somewhere. Romans 8, verse 16, and this is something I hope you as an individual recognize, and I'm going to ask the question, how, in just a moment. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does the Holy Spirit bear witness with my spirit, your spirit, that you're a child of God? Okay, there's a special comfort.
Call on.
Yeah, okay. That's some practical ways. Any other one? Anyone else? Yes, Kathy.
Divine grace.
I didn't hear that.
Divine grace.
Oh, divine grace. How does that work out in the Holy Spirit testifying with your spirit personally? How do you know? You're right, but how do you know it or feel it? Okay, all right. There's a confidence and a comfort. I appreciate that. Yes, Denise?
He convicts us of sin.
Okay, conviction. Okay, these are, we could alliterate this with letter C's. Conviction, comfort.
Change.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I saw Juanetta raise her hand, too. Oh, you were pointing over, okay. Yes, John?
Not a sea, but peace. He gives us peace.
A peace that passes understanding. That's right. Sure, and I know that is a different verse in Philippians 4. But still, yes, he does. Yes, Wendy?
The Word tells us so.
How's that again?
The Bible tells us.
The Bible tells us so. And there's a confidence in that too, isn't there? Yes, Juanetta?
We can have understanding in God's Word.
Good. I'm glad that you got to that. Yeah. That is one of the present ministries. I believe it would be letter G. He teaches believers truth. That I'm giving you one ahead of time, but it is part of his testifying to us that we are God's children. Okay, he takes away doubt. So we've talked about confidence. For me, when I was 17 years old and that night before I could fall asleep, I knelt beside my bed and prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The next morning, I don't know how to describe it other than I knew something was different. The Holy Spirit was testifying to my spirit that I was now changed. We've used that word. Yes. To me, it seemed like the world went from black and white to color, and we used to tease our boys about that, you know. The world changed from color when we came into the world, or to color. Anyway, stuff like that. All right, that's a good one. Tuck it away. I'm going to jot it down here, and that's Romans 8:16, okay? It would be good to have for you to have that available when you're talking with someone sometime, at least a reference in your mind. Romans 8 is a good place to go. In the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit's only mentioned a handful of times in other chapters, but chapter 8, over 20 times. So Romans 8, just tuck that away, okay? All right, let's go on. Letter A, he bestows good gifts to all people. Now, that doesn't mean they're saved, but all of us. Let's go to Psalm 104. We might call this some sort of general grace. Psalm 104, but it is that, I know it's a longer psalm. We're not going to read all 35 verses. Don't worry about that. But in Psalm 104, we realize that all humankind, all mankind, benefit from the good, okay, the food from the gardener from the field, or the weather that is within certain parameters. It might seem like 100 degrees is extreme and 30 below is extreme, but it could be much more extreme than that. The Holy Spirit, in many ways, blesses all of us and brings good gift to all. Verse 1 of Psalm 104, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains." And look at verse 17, "where the birds make their nests, and the high hills," verse 18, "are a refuge for the wild goats." Verse 19, "He appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down." It goes on, verse 22, "the sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens, and man goeth," verse 23, "forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening." Look at verse 30, "thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, thou renewest the face of the earth, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever, the Lord shall rejoice in his works." The general statement, letter A, he bestows good gifts to all, whether people recognize it or not, whether they reject it or not, he does. Okay? "Some an hundredfold," said Jesus. And I realize that is a general statement. I think it was 40, 60, and 100. But there are times that Juanetta and I have been in awe of one seed producing 1,000 or more seeds. God is incredible. That's not our doing, but that is actually present ministry of the Holy Spirit. Anything else to come to mind, everyone? All right, under number 3, his present ministries. Letter B, he restrains sin. And, of course, he did in Old Testament times also, but he restrains sin. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we're talking about what he's doing right now. 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, I went past it. Okay, catch my breath. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 and 7. This is actually looking into the context is a future context, but you'll see the present tense part of it as we look at verses 6 and 7. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The old King James English is somewhat awkward for us. Would someone read it out of the new King James, please? We do, in studying this, recognize that is a present work of the Holy Spirit restraining sin. Once he's taken out of the way, in other words, once the believers are taken up off of this earth, what will take place following that will be unprecedented tribulation on earth. I'm glad that he is restraining evil. There is still evil in this world, but I'm glad that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit currently, presently, now, is restraining sin. Anyone comment on that? That could be a whole study, couldn't it? Yeah, I saw that in Alan's eyes. All right, then let's go on. Letter C, he convicts of sin. John chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. Someone please read that. John 6, 7 through 11. Okay, John 16. Did I say 6? Thank you very much. 16, verses 7 through 11. Verse 13 tells us that it's the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. That's who Jesus was talking about in the verses that Denise just read for us. He convicts the world of sin. Even the most hardened murderer or serial killer in prison knows that there are bad things and that some things should never be done. There is a conviction of sin generally among mankind. But now that the Holy Spirit indwells us, that is even more of a conviction for us. It better be, as a believer, I would say we ought to be more and more aware of evil and more desiring to avoid it throughout our lives. That is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Settle down for a few minutes and probably turn it back on a little later. It's been running since 7 this morning, so. Okay. He convicts of sin. And, of course, here it tells us of righteousness and of judgment. The contrast between Christ's righteousness and the judgment we deserve for our sin, we're aware of that. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, Jesus said, and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. So judgment will be upon all evil and the source of evil. Of course, that meaning Satan in this case. Any comments about he convicts of sin? Letter C. Letter D. He regenerates those who believe. Go to John chapter 3. Since you're in John 16, let's just go back to John chapter 3. And you'll remember that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus because Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and knew that he was missing something in his Jewish religion that he was so well trained in. Verses 5 through 8. John, of course, 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Being born again is regeneration. That's what that is. He regenerates those who believe. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Someone please read that. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay. In regard to regenerating those who believe, Titus 3:5 should be, I hope, a memory verse for many of you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, says the old King James. Let's go to, that's Titus 3:5. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We were there just a few moments ago, but didn't look at verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And I realize regeneration is not specifically mentioned there, but it is implied in the sanctification being set apart from the old life to the new. So, the Holy Spirit, of course, presently is involved in the regeneration of anybody, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Letter E, he baptizes believers into the body of Christ. Okay, currently, presently, he baptizes believers into the body of Christ. Someone please read 1 Corinthians 12, 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. the context here is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In regard to spiritual gifts, we'll talk about that later. Okay, we're immersed or baptized into the body of Christ. What does that mean? A lot of you know what it means. Tell us. Okay, those who have been born again are identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and new life. And yet there is something mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we can all grasp. Once we're in the body of Christ, we are a particular member of that body. Some are fingers, some are noses, some are likened to, in a metaphorical sense, of course, ears and eyes and feet. And you remember that in its context, right? That means that as members, we work together and help each other. Is that clock right, by the way? It says 10:36. Okay. All right, good. I don't want to linger then and go too long on this, but we work together as members of the body of Christ, and we, how would I say it, should honor our head first and foremost, okay? And he is Jesus Christ. All are necessary. And without one or with a hurting one, we all hurt, don't we? That is one of the wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit, is being baptized into the body of Christ once we believe. And the weaker members are helped by the stronger and vice versa. And we know that. All are important in the context. Let me go on, because you can read more in chapter 12 for yourself. Letter F, he indwells believers permanently, not like the Old Testament. Now it's permanent. John 14, verses 16 and 17. John 14. Wow, I went past it. Sorry about that. I would like to emphasize this as I read it. John 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray, Jesus said, the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. How long?
Forever.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. So the world doesn't have this, but we do. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be, with you in the person of Jesus Christ. Right there before their eyes, he was there present and shall be in you. And Romans 8, verse 9, there again, I've mentioned Romans 8 is, as far as the book of Romans goes, the one chapter that deals with the Holy Spirit so much. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's capitalized. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not a Christian, none of his. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. You should know this also. Does anyone have a handout they can share with Eric? Anybody? Or can make a new copy? I don't know. Okay, thank you. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple, dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, they belong to God. Letter F, he indwells believers permanently. Permanently. I'm glad for that. What is one of the Bible teachings that is rejected by a lot of evangelical Christians, that this tells us is impossible, that a person can lose their salvation? Once a person's indwelled by the Holy Spirit, it's not taken away in this age. Now, with King Saul, as we saw last week, yes. However, Not now. That doesn't mean we have license to do anything wrong, but it does mean that God is the one who gave us his grace, and it's the one, he is the one, that is, who indwells us permanently in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on, because letter H is similar. Letter G, he teaches believers truth. John 16, verse 13, and 1 John, also in chapter 3. John, did I say that wrong? 8, let me go back. Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Why did I jump ahead? Assurance. We already looked at that. I'm looking at letter G is what I really want to be. He teaches believers truth. John 16, 13. That's what I was trying to get to. John 16, 13. Thank you for bearing with me, everyone. Okay. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to open our understanding to the pages of the Bible. And he does. I understood more the day after accepting Christ as my Savior than I did the years before that. The very next day, I understood more, and you did too, whether you recognize that right now or not. Let's look at 1 John 3, verse 24. 1 John 3, verse 24. Okay, 1 John 3, the 24th verse says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." I'm not sure why I used that one. I'm wondering if I was thinking more of chapter 2, verse 27, "But the anointing," or the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, "ye have received of him, abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you." This is 2:27. "But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Add 1 John 2:27, everyone, okay, to your notes. So it is one of the ministries presently of the Holy Spirit to teach us the Bible, the truth. And we recognize the truth now more than we did in the past. And the contrast between truth and error should become more out of balance and sharper, if I should say it that way. Let's go to letter H. He gives assurance. Romans 8:16, we've already looked at a couple of times. He gives us assurance. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:22, please. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Okay. That says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." That seal is not something that a human being can break. He gives us assurance. It's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians 3. There's a typo. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, okay? Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. This is what we read over there. Ephesians 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The earnest money is, if you will, the redemption price has been paid already, and we're sealed, we're set apart as God's chosen individual. And so the Holy Spirit gives us assurance. And those who lack assurance, one of the considerations is, why And are you really saved? That is something that needs to be considered. For the lack of time, I know it's the lack of time, I want to finish up with letter I. He gifts believers for service. May I ask Joshua, I know you're tired, but I'll ask you to pass those around. The Holy Spirit does give gifts for service during this age. We spent some time not that long ago on Wednesday nights looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are for service in the church. And you have references in front of you. The primary one that we think of as edifying gifts are found in Romans 12, verses 4 through 14. And for the sake of time, I'll read that while Joshua is passing those out, and then there will be a brief discussion, and we'll wrap up. Okay. Romans 12. I'll read verses 4 through 14. While Joshua is handing those out. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, that is a reference back to verse 3. Okay, but anyway, the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, that is forth-telling the word of God. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence or administration, do it with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I'm going to read on. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed primarily in four places in our New Testament. That's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, or Ephesians 4 also. So, there is that list, and I hope everyone has this. That was not created by me, but it does help us understand why there are some gifts that had a different function in the past, and those that are currently functioning, those that are edifying in the body of Christ, which Valley Baptist Church is part of the body of Christ. So edifying gifts of the Holy Spirit are active and should be used and should benefit each and every one of us. And Shane alluded to that when we were talking about being members of the body of Christ. We all have a function. God wants us to function using our spiritual gifts. So we have used our time this morning. I will just say this, that the Holy Spirit's future ministries may be and may not be specifically part of what Alan will be bringing, but Brother Alan will be teaching next week about the big word eschatology, what the Bible teaches about future things, and I'm looking forward to that. And Alan, do you have any comments before we pray and wrap up? Me too. And it should be for that. And as we'll see even in the sermon today, it ought to affect us here and now. Absolutely. The future things are not just pie in the sky. They ought to affect us right now. So that's good. Thank you very much, Alan, for taking on that task. Pray for Alan and that we're all built up in our faith. They're edified, including him, of course. Okay. Yes, Ken.
Do you have a fill-in for that last point?
Okay, let's go to Romans 8, verses 11 and 23. Okay. Romans 8:11. If you want to fill that in, we can, of course. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive or quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The spirit and our future resurrection, everyone. Resurrection goes in the blank, okay? That makes sense? That hasn't happened yet. Some of us may need a resurrection right now, but the physical resurrection hasn't happened yet. But when it does, the Holy Spirit will be part of that process. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you that we can look forward to the hour ahead. Lord God, thank you for your word. It gives us answers to life now and tomorrow and for eternity. May we never take it for granted. And for the Holy Spirit who guides our thoughts, Lord, I ask you that we would be more and more led by your spirit and less by the things around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.